started. So today we're going to talk about Tcheles Bezman Hazeh. I'm not going to go in the exact order of the outline. Hopefully you had an opportunity to go through some of the tshuvos from Sternbach, Rav Eliashiv, Rav Asher Weiss, and you saw why a lot of people don't like the current Tcheles. So what I want to go through first things first, is to go through a little bit of the history of Tcheles, and that will give us a better background to then discuss whether the Murex Trunculus that we currently have can potentially be the Tcheles, what the proofs are that it is the Chilazon, what the proofs are that it's not the Chilazon, and then, assuming that it's at least a suffix, to go through what the different tainas are, why not to use it. So we go a little bit in a different order than the outline, but let's go back to what the history of Tcheles. The Gemara Maseches Menachos and Daf Mem Gimel tells us that Rav Achai had Tcheles. Now Rav Achai was from the latest of the Amoraim. There's a discussion in Tosos in a couple of places in Shas whether Rav Achai Gon is the Rav Achai that we find in the Gemara, because sometimes you have from the Rabbanan Savarai, from the Gaonim, additions that are made into the Gemara. Rishonim point out sometimes at the beginning of Gittin and other places that not all of the Gemara is actually from Amoraim. There are some lines that were added in. Rav Achai, Tosos says there were two different people. There was an Amora and there was a Gaon Rav Achai, different people. But either way, he was from the very late Amoraim. So we know that in the stages of the late Amoraim, apparently they still had Tcheles. However, the Medrash Tanchuma in Parsha Shlach says that Tcheles was already lost. In the end of the Amoraim, at the year 500, they still had it. By the year 750, when Medrash Tanchuma was written, it was gone. So we've already narrowed it down to a 250-year window when Tcheles was lost, between the year 500 and the year 750. And there are different suggestions of why it would have been lost during that time. The Rizina Rebbe suggested that the Arab conquest of Eretz Yisrael during that time in 639 CE destroyed all the dye houses, and therefore they couldn't make Tcheles anymore because they threw us all out of the places where they were made. In the RJJ Journal many years ago, there's a rabbi by the name of Chaim Twersky who wrote that maybe it's the Christian massacres of 628 CE. Bottom line is, there's no shortage of people who came around massacring in Eretz Yisrael, even during that short window of time, and that's how it very likely could have been lost, either by the loss of the actual places to make it, or by the loss of the people who knew how to make it, and therefore it was gone, or whoever knew how to make it was exiled and didn't have access to the Chilazon anymore. So it was gone. Now, apparently it didn't exist in Bavel in the times of the Amoraim, meaning the times of the Amoraim existed, but only in Eretz Yisrael. We know that from a Gemara Menachos also, because the Gemara Menachos says that Abaye asked Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda how they would die Tcheles. Apparently Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda spent some time in Eretz Yisrael. Abaye didn't. So Abaye had no idea how they made it. So he had to ask, how did they make Tcheles? But that's a little bit about the history. And then it was gone from that time. No one had claimed to have found Tcheles in any public way. No one had made any major tainas of discovery until the year 1887. So that's a long time. We're talking about over 1,000 years where Tcheles was not there. And then comes along the Rizina Rebbe. And the Rizina Rebbe publishes three books, like we discussed earlier in the summer. He publishes a book called Sfunei Tmunei Chol. Sfunei Tmunei Chol was published before he found anything, but he explained why he's obsessed with this mitzvah, why this is something that's worthy of research, it's worthy of looking into, and if we do find something that actually fits the various simanim the Chazal have, then we should use it, we should go for it, because it's a mitzvah d'oraisa that unfortunately we've had so many years where we've been unable to perform this mitzvah d'oraisa. Then his second book, his second kuntrus, is called Psil Tcheles, and that's where he presents what he had found. He did a lot of research. He did a lot of traveling to try to find different places where there were different, and studied. Went to aquariums everywhere, to big aquariums, and studied all the different kinds of fish and all the different kinds of snails and everything that they had to see if there's anything that matched. And in the Sefer Psil Tcheles, he says, "I found it. It's something called a cuttlefish, and this is the Tcheles. You got to go with the cuttlefish. That's what's going to work." And he found it, so you can find it near Italy, and that's got to be it. And then he published a third Sefer called Ein HaTcheles, where after sending out the Sefer Psil Tcheles, where he told everybody, "I found it. Now here's my rayas. Get back to me. Let me know what you think." and everyone let him know what they thought, he then had to respond to what everyone else thought, because a lot of people, some supported him, but supported his idea. A lot of others did not. They had a lot of kashas on the cuttlefish. They all took him seriously. From the, you know, you get the impression that the, you know, he wasn't someone that he wasn't a small person. This was someone that you took seriously. This was a significant Talmud Chacham. So they all took him seriously, and they responded with tshuvos. And he published Eina Tcheles to respond in one broad way to all of the different tainas that came up in their tshuvas. Because you would imagine that if 50 Rabbanim wrote tshuvas back to him, that there was going to be some overlap in the tainas that they have. It's not going to be 50 separate tainas. You know, you go through and you'll see, just like I'm sure as you were reading through this morning, the tshuvas of Rav Shurmach, Rav Eliyashiv, Rav Asher Weiss, you see a lot of the same things repeated from one rabbi to the next. So he published this Eina Tcheles to defend himself. Rav Herzog, when he was a young student, he was studying for his PhD, and he set out, studying for his PhD, to prove that the Radzina Rebbe was right. By this time, all the Radzina Hasidim were already wearing the Tcheles, and Rav Herzog wanted to show, in the early part of the 20th century, he wanted to do his PhD thesis to prove that the Radzina Rebbe was right. Unfortunately, what he found was that the Radzina Rebbe was wrong. He thought he was going to be able to prove that he was right, but he found that he was wrong. How did he find that he was wrong? Well, apparently, part of the way to dye the Regina Tcheles is that what they would do is they would add potassium and iron and into the dye in order to make it the right blue. And it turns out that adding that into pretty much any organic compound will turn it blue. So the Regina Rebbe was misled, apparently, by a chemist. He didn't know much about chemistry, but the chemist said, look, we take this clear substance and that clear substance. Potassium and iron, and you know, and you put it in there, and poof, it turns blue. So he didn't realize he saw clear substances. He didn't think that that was coloring it blue. He thought it was purifying it. He thought it was cleaning it. He didn't realize that it was turning it blue. But that's in fact what turned it blue. So that was a problem. Plus, Rav Herzog said, there were a lot of other problems with the cuttlefish anyway. And the Rizin Rebbe was aware of the other problems, but he fetched his way through that, meaning he had answers for the other problems. But his other problems were, first of all, we know that the chilazon was very rare, was very expensive. We just did a gemara in the Daf Yomi, Maseches Megillah, where Zvulun originally has tainas. Ribbono Shalom, why am I stuck with a part of Eretz Yisrael that's full of mountains, and you know, I don't have any fields, I don't have any vineyards, I don't get any of the good stuff. And what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response? Oh, you have something that's going to be so valuable, you're sitting on a gold mine. You have chilazon in your chelek. So you're going to have chilazon, you have access to chilazon, you don't have to worry economically that you're not going to have anything of any value. So apparently it's something that's very rare and something that's very expensive. Cuttlefish are extremely common. If you go into a Sfarim store today and you want to buy tcheles, some of them will tell you, well, do you want the Regina tcheles or do you want the Murex tcheles? Well, what's the difference? If you want the Murex tcheles, it will be $150, and if you want the Regina tcheles, it will be $10 or whatever. It will be something much, much cheaper. The reason it's much, much cheaper is because cuttlefish are very easy to find. They're extremely common. Also, the Gemara refers to Sfune Tmune Chol, that the chilazon burrows in the sand. A fish doesn't burrow in the sand. The cuttlefish certainly does not, and that was a problem. The third problem with the cuttlefish is that it doesn't have a shell. The Gemara implies, and we'll see how it implies this way, but the Gemara seems to imply that there is a shell that grows along with the fish, with the chilazon, and there is no shell on the cuttlefish. And the biggest problem, probably, is that the Gemara assumes that the chilazon, the dyed wool with chilazon, cannot be washed out. That it's such a fast dye, it's such a strong dye, that it cannot be washed out. Cuttlefish dye can easily be washed out. So that is a huge problem. Yeah.
At one point in the summer, you said that like one shouldn't buy like tcheles for someone who's not bar mitzvah yet.
So, like, I didn't say that. I didn't say one shouldn't.
Not one shouldn't, but like to buy it would be like...
I said if the kid can't, you know, you may want to think twice before you spend $150
right,
bucks for a kid who can't be shomer sitzes and make sure that they don't get destroyed.
So, like, the purpose of the shiur, could you use it?
No. Whenever you do mitzvah of chinuch, you're always supposed to use a kashrut chefetz shel mitzvah. So Ritva at the beginning of Maseches Sukkah. Did I start to talk about it last night? Yeah, you're supposed to use a kashrut chefetz shel mitzvah. Now, Rav Herzog said, but wait a second, I found a snail that might actually be it, the Murex trunculus. And Rav Herzog was the first, he was onto it. He said, I found the Murex trunculus, maybe that's it. But then he said, no, it can't be it. And he had a few problems with it. What were his problems? First of all, he said it's not a fast dye. It doesn't actually stay. You could wash it out. That is simply not true. It's unclear why Rav Herzog thought that was the case. In fact, it is such a fast dye that they have found pieces, fragments of garments from 2,000 years ago that are still dyed with the Murex dye. So it is about the fastest dye you could possibly have. There is no dye at all in the world today that's a stronger dye that holds to a material, that holds to wool, stronger than the Murex dye. So it's unclear why Rav Herzog thought that. He was incorrect about that. His second problem was that it's not blue, that the Murex dye is not blue. And the Tcheles, the Gemara says, is Domel Yam, which is Domel Rukia, which is Domel Eben Asapri, Lekisei HaKavod, and the Yam and the Rukia are both blue, and presumably Eben Asapri, Kisei HaKavod also. But the Yam and the Rukia are both blue. Murex dye is not blue, it's purple. That was what really held him back. Now, what did we fix since then? So what happened was that there was a fellow who was working with dyes. His name was Otto Elsner, and he was working with different things, and he was working with Murex dye. And his wife said, "Oh, that's, if you've ever been to the Tcheles factory, it stinks. So it really smells." So his wife's like, "Get your stupid smells out of the house. Just leave. Go out." So he went outside, and as he was working with the dyes, and it was a sunny day, and he realized that as the dye was changing colors, it stayed blue. It never turned to purple. It stayed blue. And he realized that one of the tricks to get the Murex dye blue is exposure to the sun at certain parts of the process. And that was the process that was missing. That's the part Rav Herzog didn't know. So he said, it's not blue. There's no way to get it blue. But there is a way to get it blue. All you have to do is work in the sun, and it stays blue. Now, in the factory you'll go, they don't do it in the sun. They add a chemical that does that instead, meaning whatever the sun does for it, you can put a chemical in that will mimic that thing. But it's no difference whether you do it in the sun or you do it... What? Yeah, the Gemara talks about it. So one second. So that's, or you could just do it in the sun, whatever it is. But that is neither here nor there in terms of the identification of the Murex. But clearly, Rav Herzog's hesitation that it's not blue is simply he didn't have the expertise to know how to use it as a blue dye. This expertise did exist thousands of years ago, because we know that they used it as a blue dye. We have actual fragments of garments that are blue that were used when put under a microscope, they know were dyed with Murex. So it was something they once knew, but was lost along the way. Rav Herzog's third problem was that there's no 70-year cycle on the Murex, that the Gemara says that it's Ola Achas L'Shivim Shana, comes up once every 70 years, and we don't know of any, you know, comet-like appearance of Murex. We'll get to that a little bit later in this year. And the fourth problem, he says, is it's not Dom Eliyam. It doesn't look like the ocean. That the Chilazon itself is supposed to be Dom Eliyam. It's supposed to look like the ocean. And if you look at the Murex snail, it looks more brownish. It looks more like the sand than it does like the ocean. Rav Herzog was probably mistaken about that simply because he probably never saw it in its natural habitat, meaning he saw it when it was cleaned off and taken out of the ocean. When it's actually in the ocean, it blends in quite nicely to the ocean. It's once you take it out and you wash it off, so then it looks like sand. But when it's actually in its natural habitat, it actually looks exactly like the ocean. A couple of questions at this point? Yeah, well, that could be part of it, yeah.
Is there any indication that they, back when they had the Masorah, that they also used heat to get it to turn blue, or that it was...
That they used
the heat mechanism
to... The sun.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's heat, but they used the sun to get it to turn blue. I don't know. Somehow they got it to turn blue, so presumably that's what they did. Well, all the places that we found, I'm not an archaeologist, that they found massive amounts of Murex shells were right where the central dyeing industries were, and they were outdoors. So that's where they were using it, that's where they were doing it. Yeah.
If that's how it works in the song, it doesn't mention that.
Well, obviously the Gemara didn't mention that. The Gemara was very vague about the whole process. Put in samimanim, you know what samimanim are? Put in, it's like chemicals, you know, things. Like, what chemicals, what things? You know, what am I? The Gemara was very vague about the entire process.
You know, the Torah is also very vague about it.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Enochinami. But again, that doesn't prove one way. I don't think that matter. You know. Okay. So it was very vague. The Gemara didn't tell us the whole process.
That's like the key thing to like getting it blue.
Maybe it was obvious to them. That's where they would dye things. Who would dye things inside? They were all their dyeing industries were outside. So maybe it was obvious to them. Right, so yeah, it was probably obvious to them. You know, that's most likely. Okay, so that is why Rav Herzog rejected murex. And Rav Herzog suggested another fish that maybe or snail or whatever that may have been that may have been the filazon he suggested. And then he said, but the problem with that one was that it's not steadfast, and he's right, it's not. So that one was sort of a non-starter, the whatever Rav Herzog had suggested, and he himself knew that he couldn't use it. So what are the rayas that Murex trunculus is in fact the chilazon? So the Gemara Masach HaShabbos Daf Chav Zayin tells us where you can find the chilazon. This was another problem with the Rezina one, that he had to go to Italy to find it. In the Gemara Masach HaShabbos says that you can find it from Haifa to Sidon, which is northern Israel, southern Lebanon, which is exactly where we find Murex. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Ayin Hay says that when you're extracting the chilazon dye, you need to keep the animal alive for as long as possible while extracting the dye, otherwise it's going to ruin the dye. That, in fact, is true about murex, that there's a certain enzyme that it produces that it stops producing as soon as it dies, and that enzyme is critical in order to get it to turn the right color. So the Gemara in Shabbos says you need it to stay alive, so that's why you need it to stay alive, because it starts off clear, the murex dye goes from yellow to green to blue to purple, but if you expose it to sunlight, it stays blue. Also, if the snail, yeah, so that's another raya. A third raya, and this is probably the biggest raya, is that there was something called Kala Ilan, we saw in the Gemara. The Kala Ilan, we know what it is. There's no debate about what Kala Ilan is. Kala Ilan, the Aruch says, going back 1,000 years, the Aruch says Kala Ilan is indigo, it's plant indigo. The murex dye is chemically identical to plant indigo. It doesn't just look the same, it is the same. It's mamish the same as plant indigo. We have plant indigo.
I'm saying, how do we know that it's supposed to match up to Kala Ilan?
Because the Gemara says that Tchelis, that was the best, what do you call it? That was the best forgery, was Kala Ilan. Now, here's the thing. We know they used murex back in the for dyeing purposes back in the days. We have archaeological digs where there were tons of murex shells. We have cloth that actually was dyed with murex. We know they used murex at some point. We know they were using Kala Ilan, right? And we know the Gemara was concerned. Better be careful, because some people will tell you they have chilazon dyed things and it's really Kala Ilan dyed things. If people were using murex, shouldn't the Gemara, and murex is not chilazon, shouldn't the Gemara have been concerned? Be careful, people are going to tell you that they're using chilazon and they're using murex instead. Just putting two and two together, it's just, you know, and we don't have any other thing that we know that they were using that produced this color and that fit all these simanim. Yeah.
What was a fish? Or a snail?
What
was a fish?
That the chilazon is a fish? It's a discussion in the Rishonim, we'll get to it. Yeah.
Chris says the same thing with the Red Zinners. Like, you see that same argument instead of going through everything.
It
doesn't say, like,
cuttlefish is not at all similar to Kala Ilan.
I'm saying Chris said that proved that.
Meaning that against the Red Zinner. Okay, another Raya against the Red Zinner. We don't need more Rayas against the Red Zinner. You know. Now, just going on to Max's point. That he thought it was a fish. There are many rayas that it had a shell of some sort, which would mean it was something that was in the ocean, but it had a shell. The rayas that had a shell, there's a psikta that says that its nartik grows with it. A nartik is a shell, a hard shell. The Gemara in Shabbos says that when you cut open the chilazon, you are potseya chilazon. What does potseya mean? What does potseya mean?
Hebrew.
Hebrew, I need you. Hebrew. Potseya, what does potseya mean? What? Is it okay? But it's not to squeeze. Potseya is like to shatter, to crash something. It's talking about something hard. So also in many of the Middle Eastern languages, the word for snail is actually chilazon. Okay, that's a more of a language raya. They would use the word chilazon in the language to describe a snail, and obviously a lot of the languages are very similar to each other. The Brisa says, one of the greatest rayas that it's not a fish is probably the reason that people thought it was a fish for all those years. The Brisa Maseches Menachos says that briyaso domeledag, that it's creation, it's similar to a fish. You wouldn't look at a fish and say, that's similar to a fish. Because you look at a fish and say, that is a fish. So the fact that it says it's similar to a fish, something about it must be similar to a fish. So in all likelihood...
Why do people think it was a fish?
What?
That's why people think it was a fish.
Good question. But in all likelihood, that's where it came from. Because it says, briyaso doma ledag. So the closest explanation we had of it is that it's fish-like. So people say, okay, fish-like, so it's a fish. Yeah?
The Gemara
Maseches Megillah refers to it as Sfunei Tmunei Chol. What is Sfunei Tmunei Chol? Something that burrows in the sand. A snail burrows in the sand. A fish doesn't. A fish would die if it did. The Gemara Menachos says that in Daf Mem Gimel, that the dye of Tchela, as I mentioned before, is a very fast dye. It doesn't fade. Murex is the fastest known natural dye that we have. The Gemara Menachos also says, and this one's also very interesting, the Gemara Menachos says that, and we've seen this, that if you have Tcheles, why is it necessarily true that if you have a beged of sadin, a linen beged, and you put Tcheles in it, that you have a shotness problem? Why don't you just assume that you're dyeing linen strings Tcheles, with Tcheles? So the Gemara says, you can't dye linen with Tcheles. It won't work. You can only dye wool with Tcheles. Linen won't work with Tcheles. That's true of the Murex dye. For some reason, it doesn't take to linen, but it does take to wool. It only takes to wool. And that's a very, very rare quality for a dye to have. For a dye to be so strong, but only take to one type of material, is a very, very rare thing. But that's in fact what we have when it comes to the Murex. Now, what are the rayas that it's not the tchilas? I just did the easy part, you know. And the rayas that it is, that's easy. What are the rayas that it's wrong? So some of the Achronim say, a lot of the Achronim say, maybe there's some other snail that has the same characteristics. Meaning, just because you've proven that Murex matches all the characteristics doesn't mean it's the chilazo. It just means that it's a snail that happens to do a lot of similar things to what the chilazo does. But it could be there's something else out there that also has all these things, and that's the chilazo. So the response is, well, Rav Herzog himself says that can't be the case, because then when the Mishnah was warning us, don't use Kali Ilan, it would have said, don't use the Murex. And again, we know they were using it. It's not like they hadn't discovered it. We know they were using it for blue.
It wouldn't make sense for them to use a fake thing that's really expensive.
To use a forgery that's expensive. But if it's mamish, the same, you know, you would think that that would be warned against. The Rezina goes to great lengths to prove that Lu Yitzur, even if it's true that there is another one out there, anything that actually meets the qualifications, the Rezina holds, has a din of chilazon. That chilazon doesn't have to be a specific min. If you were to find two minim that meet all the qualifications, all the criteria, then both would be chilazon. That's what the Rezina Tain is in his sefer. But again, we don't have any records of them using anything else to produce this dye during that time. Another taina that they have, and this is one you hear all the time, is that the Gemara says it's ola achas l'shivim shana. It comes up once every 70 years. And we don't know of anything like that. Now, the Gemara Megillah we mentioned before, imagine you're Zvulun, and you're complaining to Hashem that, you know, your land you don't have any vineyards, and you don't have any fields that produce good crops and good wine. And Kodesh Baruch says, don't worry, you're going to have chilazon. Right? Now, imagine Hashem says to you, don't worry, once every 70 years, you'll make a living. Well, that's not going to work for you, because I might not live that long. Meaning, there was clearly, Zvulun ran an industry with Murex. Now, what's the deal with 70 years? Why would it say 70 years? So 70 years is a term, if you only see that one Gemara, and you're not that familiar with Shas in general, so it sounds very compelling. It says once every 70 years. So there are a few numbers that come up all over Shas, that in Agadat HaGemaras, the Gemara always comes back to certain numbers. 400 is a number for some reason. This one wrote 400 Sefer Torah. This one planted 400 vineyards. When Chazal speak in metaphors, Chazal use certain numbers. 70 is one of those numbers. Why 70? Why would that be a number that we use? Because that's a lifetime. So we say that it's so rare, it's a once in a lifetime thing. Yeah?
People have a similar time for 40 years in Tanakh.
What?
People have a similar time for 40 years in Tanakh for being a generation.
Okay. I'm not going to get into that. I mean, you know, I'm not going to touch that with.
No, in Shoftim, there's a big stir between the Yerushalmi, which says that.
I thought you were getting into biblical criticism and history of.
The Tosfos on Shabbos is the Yerushalmi says that Shimshon was a Shoftim for 40 years, but we have 20 years.
Okay. So that would respond, yeah.
It's like Imar Makos in there.
Beis Din kills once every 70 years is considered a violent Beis Din. Why every 70 years? Why do they use the 70 years? Yeah, and 70 years means once in a very, very long while. So also, when the Rambam quotes La Halacha, the Rambam doesn't mention that there's a requirement of 70 years, probably because it's not Gadat HaGemara. So it doesn't seem that there's any Halacha that it needs to be 70 years. The Radvaz writes in a Tshuva that even if it does surface once every 70 years, it doesn't mean it's only available once every 70 years. It means otherwise you have to go get it, meaning you have to go dig down and pull it up from the bottom of the ocean. So that's how they get it. They go down and they put boxes and traps in the bottom of the ocean. They pull them up. Yeah.
So even if, okay, fine, so 70 years isn't ma'akev, but it still means it's rare. But if,
yeah. So that's why it's expensive. It's rare.
How is it really that?
Yeah. Why do you think it costs $150 to get a few strings?
Are they going to run
whatever.
Out?
We're not going to catch that.
So they're working on ways to improve the dyeing, with modern technology but it's always going to be expensive.
Are they trying to grow like
22 snails for like one shrimp?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, it's not something that they can. What?
Are they trying to grow them inside yet?
Trying to grow.
Why can't they? Why can't they farm them?
I don't know. I don't know. That's above me.
Could you dilute it?
I don't think it works if you dilute it. Yeah.
According to that understanding, still haven't had a good consolation to Yisaf Elos and Zvolik.
Yeah, because he has something that you can get all the time as long as you're a sailor.
So once in a lifetime you'll get it.
No, it's not once in a lifetime. What they're saying is it's rare. That's just a way of saying it's rare. But you have to go. You can always go and get it. It's just hard and it's rare. But when you have, you have access to it. You have constant access to it. So then you'll be able to make a killing because no one else has it. So that's it. Just means that it's rare. Now the other, it's also rare because if it was like the cuttlefish, it would be $15 a pair. It would be very cheap.
If you're putting traps on the bottom of the ocean, how back then were they able to get down there?
Okay, so the Gemara talks about how they got it, but they did. They worked very, very hard to get it. They weren't so primitive, meaning they had ways of getting it. Yeah, it doesn't mean we're not talking about like 10 miles offshore. It's pretty close to the shore. It's not like... All right. The Rabbeinu Bechai, and really many others, point out that the Gemara says that really in order to use any cheftza shel mitzvah, let's say by tefillin and things like that, you're always supposed to use... Let's say you want to take leather of your tefillin, the leather that your batim of your tefillin are made out of, you want to use pig hide to make... You decide instead of your football, you'll take your football, turn it into tefillin. You'll use, I don't know if it's real pigskin or footballs either, but you would take pigskin and make your tefillin out of it. So the halach is not allowed to do that because mitzvos need to be mina mutter beficha. It needs to be something that's kosher. You can't have something that's not kosher be for a chefza shel mitzvah. So the Rishonim already raised the question, well, what about the chilazon, especially if the chilazon is a snail, none of them are kosher. So what's the how is that permissible? So Nadbi Huda already deals with this in a tshuva many years ago, many centuries ago, before he ever saw a Murex trunculus. He already discussed this in a tshuva, and he said probably whatever the chilazon is, it's not kosher. But he said that's okay, because it's not the chefza shel mitzvah, it's the dye. And something that's just a coloring agent, rather than the actual substance of the mitzvah would not be subject to that rule, for whatever, whether you like to know the answer or not, meaning all the Rishonim say it's a snail, they know, and they know that snails aren't kosher. So, you know, there's some teretz, but that's not the view of this teretz. That it's only true when you're dealing with a substantive chavtza shel mitzvah, but not something that's just a die. What? Yeah, well, except the fact that the Gemara says not, you know. That's, so the... not all fish are kosher, that's for sure. Rav Per, one of the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Farakway in Farakway, wrote a letter in the RJJ Journal years ago where he says that his problem with it is that the Gemara says that one can violate the malacha of dash when you extract the chilazon dye. And the sheer disha in the Gemara, the amount that you need to extract in order to violate dash, is the size of a grogris, size of a fig. When you take dye out of murex, remember, so what did you say before? How many snails do you need to dye a couple of strings? 22 for one string. You're getting a few drops of dye. You're not getting anything near a grogris. So that was his taina, that it can't possibly be it, because you're not getting enough in order to violate disha. So a number of answers to this. First of all, the Ravid in Hilchas Shabbos argues on the Rambam and says that the sheer disha of a grogris depends on what type of liquid you're using. If you're using a liquid that comes, you know, that's easy to access, like grapes or whatever, and you squeeze it, so then it would be a grogris. But if the sheer would be a grogris. But if you're using something that's very rare and much more expensive, much more valuable, meaning similar to the sheer of hutzah, how much do you have to carry to violate hutzah? So the Gemara in Shabbos says it depends what you're carrying. Whatever is a chashuv amount of that item, that's considered a chashuva action of hotzah. So if you're carrying tissues and you just have a single corner of a tissue that's very tiny, well, that's not chashuv. But if you have a diamond of that same size, so then you would violate hotzah. It depends it's not a universal size. It all depends. When we say the sheer disha is a grogris, that's talking about bimachal, when you're using food. If you're extracting liquid of food, so then there's a shear of a grogris. If you're not extracting from food, though, it's going to be based on the chashivas of that item. And in fact, even the Rambam, when he says a shear of grogris by blood, may only be referring to a blood of a wound, where the blood isn't valuable, so it's only a problem to extract it, because you're not really looking for the blood anyway, so it's only a problem to extract up to more than a grogris. But when you're dealing with something very valuable that has inherent value, it could be even less. Also, the Gemara never says that you violate dash when you extract the dye from a single chilazon. It says you violate dash when you extract the dye of chilazon. Who would ever extract the dye of a single chilazon? It's not going to do you any good. It would always take a whole bunch of them to extract the dye. So it's very likely that's the malach of disha if you extract from many, many chilazons. The other tainer of Perhad is the Gemara refers to it as dam chilazon. Dam means blood, right? That's what dam normally means. The chilazon dye that we use is a mucus. It's not the blood. It's not the circulatory blood of the murex. So he says, and don't tell me, oh, there's no other word you could use to describe mucus. The Chazal do it all the time. Lecha, rear. They have all sorts of different words to describe things that aren't blood. So the truth is, I at first when I saw that taina, I'm like, that's a great taina. But then, so I saw recently published this little pamphlet that was recently published, pointed out very, very strong. It said the Gemara, the Mishnah Maseches Nida says that a woman who sees dam yarok, it's not matame mishum nida. What's dam yarok? So it doesn't really mean green; it means yellow. But either way, what it means is that if what comes out of her body is not blood but mucus, meaning we know what this is. Dam yarok happens all the time. There are all sorts of secretions that women's bodies sometimes produce, and it's not always dam nida. So sometimes it's dam nida, and sometimes it's dam yarok. And what does the Gemara call it? It calls it dam. It's talking about a mucus. Why not use the term lecha or rear? So what? The Mishnah Nida says dam yarok. Says yeah, that is, yeah, you have dam yarok.
Is the black dam also mucus?
Is the black dam?
It's black instead of the.
Oh, we'll get to the black. We'll get to the black. But so the, and also rear. Why not use the term rear? Rear always means something that's flowing, something that flows out like a like ziva or something like that. And lecha is always a liquid that results from an infection of some sort. So the other terminologies that he suggested are not really terminologies that really work over here. So dam may be the best terminology for Chazal to use over here. So I used to think that was a really good raya, but I'm not really convinced by it at all.
In the Mishnah Nida, it doesn't just say stam dam. It says dam yarok. So why wouldn't it say any?
Because the color of the dam, it couldn't be many different colors that come out of a woman, and the color matters in terms of whether she's tamei or tahar. Over there. So the Mishnah say, Dam Edom or Shachar, black blood or red blood, that will be Metame here. But if you have blood that's Yarok or whatever, you know, so then it's not going to be Metame here. Over here, the Chilazon produces, it's got one mucus and that's it. It's not, you know, it comes out clear and it doesn't, you know, so it's the
Dam. You should have differentiated that in the blood. So you should have done, just a clear blood.
Now again, over there, the color is what makes all the difference, and there are multiple things that it's producing. Over here, it's not. Meaning, it's just the only thing that you would ever use for a dye from the snail is this sac that it has where it stores up this mucus. So there's nothing to talk about. Meaning, there's no reason to get more specific. Some Rishonim refer to the chilazon as a dag. As a fish, so going back to Max's point, but again, the Gemara says that it's dumb ladag, and the Rambam says that it's a shellfish. The Rambam doesn't say it's shellfish. But the Rambam assumes that shellfish have a halachic status of a fish. So when Rishonim referred to it as a fish, it could be that they were referring to its halachic status, that a shellfish would also have a din of a fish. I mean, what are you going to call it? A sharet? What is it exactly? So it has a din of a fish, because there's no category for it. There's chaya, there's oaf, there's behema, there's sharets, and there's dagim. So which category do you want to put it in? So it fits in the category of Rabbi Paskins. It fits in the category of a dog. So that's why it's called the dog of Rishonim. So that's not a particularly difficult problem to get around. The Rishonim also talk about using nets to catch it. But the Gemara, Masech HaShabbos, says that one violates the Malacha of Tseda, of Tzad, when trapping the Chilazon. So these are two separate tainas. First of all, we don't use nets to trap the murex, we use boxes, but it could be we use baskets rather, but it could be that it's the same thing. I mean, probably it's the same thing. We put baskets down, they put nets down. What's the difference? You know, that's just happens. I don't even get what the taina was. They said that people would tie the nets in order to catch the chilazon. So that would be kosher when you're tying the nets in order to trap the chilazon. Okay, so they use nets. You can use nets. Something wrong with using? Like I don't even understand what the taina is. Meaning the whole point is you need something that will stay down there for a long time, so that you could wait till they gather and then pull them up.
Do you feel that like a lot of the shred tainas are like poskim looking for a kula?
No, it's just that we didn't have it for so long, so they have to pull every last thing we know about chilazon and see if it matches. So, you know, that if it doesn't match perfectly, you know, they're not...
Can you trap fish in a box?
Can you trap fish in a box? I don't know.
It's a hypothetical question.
How does a soda get lost?
So we already described, because all the dye houses were, that's also irrelevant in terms of, I mean, it got lost. I mean, there's no doubt that it got lost over 1,000 years ago.
Absolutely, but if it's something like this, then it should have been passed
down. No, because Jews were thrown out of that area. So we didn't have access to the snails anymore. So if we didn't have access to it, no one was going to die. No one was in the business anymore. Who's passing it down? I'm going to teach my kid, who's an investment banker, had a, you know, like we don't. The Jews used to be the ones running the dyeing industry over there, but they lost. Plus indigo made its way to Eretz Yisrael, which was also a big deal. Like it made its way to the northern part of Israel, and people started to realize. At first, they didn't realize that plant indigo is really the same thing. So they started to realize, oh my God, it's so much cheaper. It's the same thing. Might as well use it. So that was another thing that changed. That's just a historical footnote.
The snail only lives in Israel.
It can be found in a few other places, but for the Jewish people in Israel, the place to find it is in northern Israel, near Lebanon. The Gemara Masech Shabbos says that Tzad Chilazon Chayiv Mishum Tzeda. that if you trap a chilazon, you chayiv mishum seda. Now the Gemara makes the Gemara says that in order for a person to violate tzad, it has to be something that you need to actually chase after to catch. Anything that you can get in one lunge, that you're not going to have to lunge after twice, is not going to be a violation of the malacha of trapping. So that's one of the tainas, that, you know, it's a snail. I mean, you have to be really slow not to be able to get it in one lunge. Who's not going to get it in one lunge? So the truth is, there are very similar kashas with the Shmona Shratzim. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach writes in a letter to Rabbi Ribiat in the Lamentos Malachos, he says we've misidentified some. It must be that we misidentified some of the Shmona Shratzim, the Tzav in particular, because it's we know the Shmona Shratzim are Mechusar Tzeda, but you know some of these are very very slow moving things. So what others point out is that Rashi and the Rambam seem to assume that anything you would normally use a trap in order to catch would be a Malacha of Tzeda, meaning. So when we say that you have to catch it in one lunge, that's if you're not using a trap. That's if you're lunging for it. But something that people catch by using traps, by setting up traps, so that by definition is tzeda, if you're setting up traps, you're not going to get chilazon, you're not going to get chilazon or snails or whatever by lunging after them. You know, it's like there used to be a movie, Crocodile Dundee, where the guy would like just grab fish out of the water or whatever and catch things that way. We don't do it that way. We set up traps and that's the way we catch things. So anything you would set up a trap to catch would be a melacha of tzeda, and that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that dagim mina beibarim are only not a problem if there's nowhere that the fish can hide. Now, but if there's somewhere that they could hide, so then it's a problem of tzeda. The snails go under the sand. They hide in the rocks. They hide. So as long as there's somewhere that that they could hide, even if it's in a small area, then it would be a melacha of tzeda. A, I don't know what number we're up to, let's say a tenth taina against it, is that the Gemara in Sanhedrin refers to chilazon coming up in the mountain. The Marsham says that it's a creature that lives in the water and migrates out back into the water, which would fit the murex. But the murex can't live out of the water for more than a few hours, so it's not shaykh for it to climb all the way up a mountain. So that's one of the tainas, that it can't make its way all the way up a mountain. So the Yad Ramah over there says, yeah, the Gemara Sanhedrin when it says chilazon, the Yad Ramah, one of the Rishonim, he had no reason to say this because he didn't even have chilazon. He didn't know what chilazon was, but he says whatever chilazon the Gemara in Sanhedrin is describing is not what the chilazon that they would make tcheles from. It's some other animal. The Yad Ramah, right, because he says it just doesn't fit. The whole Gemara doesn't fit everything else we know about chilazon, so he says whatever it is, it's describing something, but it's not the chilazon that that they would make tcheles out of. Yeah?
Maybe he's referring to the thing with the tzulam lives in the mountains.
The what?
The tzulam lives in the mountains.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe, but still, I mean, these. Why would the fish or snail or whatever make its way to the... The Gemara says, Briyaso doma ladag. The snail doesn't look at all like a fish. That's what they'll tell you, that it doesn't look at all like a fish. I would encourage you, go on website, tcheles.org, or take a look at my little pamphlet that I have over there. They have pictures of certain fish next to the chilazon that are mamish shaped exactly, next to the murex, that are mamish shaped exactly like the murex. That there are certain, not all fish are shaped the same way. So it's there are fish that look exactly like. Plus, briyaso might not mean that it looks like a fish. It may mean that it's spawned from eggs like a fish, that its creation is like a fish. And in fact, even Rabbi Reisman, who was very much against the Murex Eschela, said this whole thing is not a taina. Briyaso dom l'dag is an agadita. Don't bother me with agaditas. He wasn't concerned by this at all. The Gemara Maseches B'Metziah of Samach Aleph says that those who pretend that they have color, that their tcheles is real when it's really kala ilan, are going to be punished severely. So they point out that that if you look in the context of that Gemara, it's talking about those who pretend, those who genuinely are trying to do a mitzvah and aren't pretending. The whole context of the Gemara is, yeah, and those who shave down their weights, or not shave down their weights, who soak their weights to make it heavier, so that when you sell something, you know, your weights will be not heavier, will make it lighter, right? Or shave down their weights to make it lighter, so that when you sell something, you'll sell less and you'll get more money for it. It's in the same context. It's talking about people who are deceitful. It's talking about bad guys. It's not talking about, you know, someone who Ba'emes wants to do a mitzvah and thinks he found the chilazon. The Gemara Menachos gives directions how to make tcheles and doesn't mention that you have to expose it to sunlight. So we pointed this out before. All their dyeing was done outdoors. So you don't have to say that you need the sun when you're outdoors. The sun is already there when you're outdoors. And the Gemara was very non-specific about the dyeing process in general. The Rambam says that the secretion is black. That's not true of Murex. So first of all, that doesn't appear anywhere in Chazal, that the secretion is black. The Ritziner, when he saw the Rambam's list of qualifications, Ritziner said, my raya that you're supposed to look for the chilazon and try to find what it is the Rambam, because the Rambam obviously looked and thought he found something. Because things he describes there are not at all what's described in Chazal. He must have thought that he found something. He must have discovered something, and he was describing whatever it is he found. But that's what the Rizin Rebbe thought, at least. It could very well be that when he said that it's black, it means the darkish purple that it gets, which looks very much like black. I mean, that Rambam is the basis for the black stripes in the talus. Why do we have black stripes in the talus? It's a zecher to tcheles. Why is black a zecher to tcheles? Okay, whatever. But the Minhag Yisrael of the black stripes is probably based on that. Probably based on that Rambam. One more. Let me just do one more. The last raya is they say that Zvulun will be needed to find the Dam Chilazon. Rabbi Reisman said, "Well, wait a second. Zvulun, if you look in Sefer Yehoshua, actually didn't get the land right on the shore. So how does Zvulun have access?" To the Chilazon, if the Chilazon is found in the sea, Zvulun wasn't really right by the shore. So that's not really much of a taina, because Zvulun was definitely the sailors. So, and it's always been sailors and fishermen who found Murex snails for dyeing. So they, you know, it doesn't, whether Zvulun lived right there, didn't live right there, it's really irrelevant.
One, let's say the round, since we said obviously try looking for it was wrong. Should we nowadays when we wait for this, should we like blue stripe in white, or should we just keep the black?
Nah, that's a minute. It doesn't really matter. It's a zecher. It doesn't,
The dog grows maybe like a shear on like this also has like a snail. Instead of the dome of the dog is really.
Yeah, there are a lot of ways that dumb the dog. Again, that's not one of the strongest rayas. I don't think any of them were strong rayas, but I'll leave it to you to judge. Now let's take a step back. Now we saw all the rayas that Murex is tcheles, all the rayas that it's not tcheles. We explained, how you could answer many of those rayas. Let's assume for a moment it's suffik. It's a suffik chilazim. Is there any reason not to use it? So they say over from the Beis HaLevi, when I say they, it's not what the Beis HaLevi wrote. What the Beis HaLevi wrote would tell you to use Murex. But what they say over from the Beis HaLevi would tell you not to. So what do I mean by that? The Beis HaLevi wrote a letter to the Ritzin Rebbe, and the Ritzin Rebbe published the letter. And Beis HaLevi says, here's the problem with what you have. Cuttlefish have been used constantly throughout history. There was never a break for dyeing. It's always been used for dyeing. The fact that Klal Yisrael always had access throughout history to cuttlefish and were dying with it and didn't use it for tcheles is the equivalent of a mesorah not to use cuttlefish. So we have a specific mesorah, don't use this. But, says the Beis HaLevi, if you were to continue to search and you found something that there's a reasonable explanation why it hasn't been used in all these years, well, then you don't have a mesorah that it's not the chilazon, and then you'd be chayiv to use it. That's what the Ritziner Rebbe reports from the Beis HaLevi, published in the name of the Beis HaLevi, from the Beis HaLevi's letter to him. Now, if that's the case, well, then the Beis HaLevi would be on the side to say that you should use it. If we trust the letter of the Beis HaLevi, then he would be saying that you should use it, because we have a very reasonable explanation of why it stopped being used as a dye for thousands of years. Because Jews were thrown out of that area, the expertise was lost, and it hadn't been used. We know that it was used as a dye 1,200 years ago. And we know that it wasn't used as a dye 800 years ago, or 700 years ago, or 600 years ago. So the Beis HaLevi's whole taina, according to the Ritziner, was, it was used the whole time as a dye. How could you? And people weren't using it for tcheles, so that's why it's no good. But Rav Soloveitchik said, a family tradition of some sort, we don't know, it's not written anywhere, but a family, it's Rav Shechter wrote it in Nefesh HaRad, and this is what we discussed in Tamil Al-Akhshir yesterday, a family tradition that the Beis HaLevi said, no, that you need a Mesorah to do any mitzvah, and you need a Mesorah of what Chilazon is. that it's not that he said that you have a negative mesora when you had something and you didn't use it, but you need a positive mesora to identify what the chlazen is. So we pointed out yesterday, that is a tremendous chiddush, and it's against a large majority of Rishon. Even when it comes to identifying kosher birds, the Ramah holds, like Shitas Rashi, that you need a mesora for birds. That's a machlokas Rishon. Whether you need a Ramban thinks you don't need a mesora for birds, and you can go and investigate and try to figure out. But that's when when it comes to other chefta shel mitzvah, we don't find that there are simanim for. We find typically simanim are enough, that you could check the simanim. By birds, there was a difficulty in translating the word dores, in what the word dores means when Chazal gave the simon. What does it mean that it's a bird of prey? So it's a very, very big chiddush. Beis Halevi, apparently the family tradition is that the Beis Halevi said it. But again, based on what we have in writing from the Beis Halevi, it seems to be a raya in the other direction. What are some of the other tainas that you saw this morning when you were going? Yeah.
Based on the Beis Halevi, was he saying that it's out a subject the rice of the Torah, or out you think you found it, therefore use it?
If you think you found it, you got to use it. I mean, that's also, it takes care of a lot of, I mean, a lot of the tainas that the poskim will have are working with the assumption that we didn't really find it. Meaning they'll say, it's baltosif. No, it's mitzvah daraisa if you found it. It's not baltosif if you found it. It's baltosif if you, you know, like, what, I don't even know what baltosif would mean in this context. If you, like, it, either way, it's not baltosif.
If you use kaliyuan, then if you think this exists, you know.
Right, so that's, so, okay, so let's go through some of, what are the problems that some of the people have with it. So, Rav Yashiv says in his tshuva, after he was presented with Murex, he said, oh, the Beis Halevi says a negative Mesorah, but it didn't even make any sense because there is no negative Mesorah in Murex. So Rav Yashiv's tshuva, Rav Shachter said he was very bothered by Rav Yashiv's tshuva because Rav Yashiv was a gon olam who knew everything. And he wrote a tshuva that didn't make, this tshuva just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't match the Metzius. So either the Metzius wasn't described to him properly. And then he says, and anyway, it's been tried before and people were proven wrong, so maybe this will be proven wrong. Yeah, maybe not. I mean, it was a very short tshuva and was not particularly compelling. Rav Yashiv says, also, how could we be machriyan and machlokas rishonim, how to tie it and how many strings to put in? So let me ask you, if you actually had tchelas, if you were sure that you had tchelas, would you not be machriyan and machlokas rishonim? Would you say, you know, I'll be mivatel Mr. Dreis, I'm not going to do it because how am I going to paskin Rambam? I'm not even Tosos, I can't paskin. No, that's what we paskin for. That's why we have great rabbanim to paskin. What do you think Shulchan Aruch did? We stopped doing every mitzvah that there was a machlokas on? No, Shulchan Aruch paskined. That's how Judaism works. The whole tshuva, like beginning to end, is so difficult to understand. Then Rav Yashiv says, and also there's a medrash that implies that we only have tcheles bizman shebeis hamikdash kayam. And there's no Beis HaMikdash anymore, so you can't have tcheles. So when did they lose tcheles?
After.
In the times of the Amoraim. Beis HaMikdash was long gone in the times of the Amoraim. So difficult to, you know, you can
maybe
is there a halacha that you can only have tcheles bizman shebeis hamikdash kayam? Doesn't seem there's a halacha.
They kept it until then, once it's lost.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can only rediscover. There's no din of discovering tcheles, there's din of using tcheles. So they used tcheles.
But like the day after Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, that doesn't mean all the tcheles like disappeared.
What?
I'm saying the day after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, that doesn't mean...
Well, why not? Meaning if tcheles should only be used when there's a Beis HaMikdash, if there's some sort of halacha like that, so why did they continue to use it centuries after the Beis HaMikdash was done? Centuries.
Maybe they had tcheles to use it part of this. Just...
No, they did use it. They did.
What?
So in general, the statements of the Arizal, it's always difficult to understand what he really meant. I don't know. I can't claim to be a bucky in the Arizal or to know what he really meant by that. But he meant something. I don't know. Rav Surmach points out already in his tshuva that he's not convinced by that. Rav Surmach in his first tshuva, Chelek Aleph, says, you know, you can't paskin based on a medrash that says that it's connected to Beis HaMikdash. We're not lomid midivrei agada like that. That's not something that is going to be particularly compelling. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Prima Gadim that the color of our string should match the color of our beged. So some taina, that's why you shouldn't use it. Because in case you're wrong, your strings don't match your beged. So we already learned earlier in the summer, Chaznish says Yeah, that's if your strings that you're using for lavan don't match your beged. Meaning you have two lavan strings, and then we have two strings over there to replace the tcheles, that are there in place of the tcheles, right? Whether it be other lavan strings or not. As long as you have two that are originally lavan, those should match your beged. But the extra two, the Chazanish says, could be whatever color you want them to be. Because those, lo yehei al lavan, so let them be like white. It's not a big deal. Plus, Rav Shach said, the whole thing is only a chumrah that min kanaf means the color. We don't really paskin that way. The Ramah paskins, Shulchan Aruch, Ramah paskins. Let's say you have a purple beged or a blue beged or a green beged. What color should your strings be, says the Ramah? White. It doesn't match, because min kanaf doesn't really mean the color. We don't paskin that it means the color. We paskin that min kanaf means the material.
So what did the Chazanish hold in general about tchilas?
He died before Murex was around.
What about the regina?
Well, that was already disproven. He didn't, by the time he came along, he was after the regina, before there was nothing to discuss.
So, let's say it's just like the Kalyan Yaman, wouldn't that be not good to have it?
Why?
Because you don't have Kalyan Yaman.
If you're using it to deceive, you shouldn't have Kalila.
Did
Gemara
say that? Like, when we saw it, it didn't seem like it said that.
Why do you think they said not to use Kalila? Because you're using it instead of Tcheles. To use it instead of Tcheles is the problem.
Maybe they were saying don't dye something if you're not going to dye it right.
No, they were saying,
I don't know,
if they know it's wrong,
no.
You know Kalila is not the correct
dye. And also, you're using instead of Tcheles. You're not doing Tcheles, and instead you're taking something that's a fake mitzvah. It's a very big problem to do that.
People know that was
maybe. Yeah, Kali Ilan was the forgery. That's how they used to forge things. Yeah.
That Mishnah that we just quoted.
Yeah.
That's only referring to when you have the wrong color.
Yeah.
Meaning they would say for the Mishnah if they had.
If you made it, you wanted to make your strings purple.
Right.
You know, and your beged white.
Right.
So Mishnah says you shouldn't do that. So Chazanish says you're right. You shouldn't do that on the first two strings. But the extra strings, the strings that are there to replace tchelis, that you can do. Rav Shturmach says it's a violation of Lo Sisko to wear tchelis, because a lot of the people around you aren't going to wear tchelis. So, again, very difficult taina, because again, we're not dealing with a minog over here. We're dealing with a mitzvah d'oraisa. So, like, I said redavim with kavana, cute. Because none of the people around you. If, let's say, there's only one lulav and esrog and shulah, you're the only guy that has tefillin. Should you not be allowed to wear tefillin because the loss is good to do? It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's not a loss is good to do.
It's a badai mitzvah d'oraisa.
Ah, but still. So what?
Isn't the case of the lulav, let's say, whether or not I'm becoming a mitzvah, it's just a part of the kind of mitzvah.
You're not being a kind of mitzvah of tcheles without tcheles.
No,
that's mitzvah d'oraisa also. Yeah, but you don't have a mitzvah of tcheles.
Right, so even though I don't have a mitzvah
tefillin,
I still am able to be
mekayim
mitzvah
tzitzis. I'm being mekayim mitzvah tefillin anyway. Why should I be mekayim tzitzis? Meaning you need to be mekayim all the mitzvahs d'oraisa.
There's no separate mitzvah from tefillin, it's all within the mitzvah tzitzis.
Yeah, but it's a chiyuv d'oraisa. If you have it, it's a chiyuv d'oraisa.
Right, but so maybe it would be, I don't know, but maybe it would be less exposure if I'm already being mekayim the mitzvah.
I don't think so. You're being mevatel chiyuv d'oraisa. I don't think that would work. Rav Shturmach also suggests it's bal tosif if you have kavanah l'shem mitzvah. I'm not sure that that's true. I don't understand what that means even. Bal tosif is if you have the chefter shel mitzvah and you add more of it, right? You add more to the chefter shel mitzvah. But what are you doing over here? You're manavshach. If you have the chefter shel mitzvah, well, then you're doing the mitzvah. You're not doing bal tosif. And if you're not the chefter shel mitzvah, you're not adding anything. So I don't know what he means by that. Rav Shechter quotes that Rav Yitzchak Elchanan didn't want to wear the regina tchelis, not because he had any tainas on it, but because of taimim politiim. Rav Shechter says political reasons. And what he said, he understood that meant is that people would look at him funny, and people would think it looked weird. And when you're doing something weird, it's going to be hard to do kiruv, and it's going to be hard to get people to learn Torah from you and to follow it. So Rav Shechter said he does not believe such lashon hara about Rav Yitzchak Elchanan. To say that he would be mevatel mitzvah d'oraisa for political reasons, He can't believe that that would be the explanation for political reasons. And you do get the impression that some people are afraid of what kind of stamp it's going to put on them. You know, Rabbi Reisman said, like, it almost like stamps you as a tzioni. You know, like, because in the tzioni yeshivas where it took off, it didn't take off. So, like, people are afraid that they don't want to, you know, it would be like coming into a black hat yeshiva with a big white kippah sruga. So, like, to do that, you know, time and politics. So we can't be mevatel mitzvah d'oraisa for things like that. Rav Shlomo Miller writes that al pi Kabbalah, the Sitra Achra has achiza on Kala Ilan. And if this tcheles is really Kala Ilan, then we're giving power to the Sitra Achra. What? I'm not saying it's pasha. There are all these issues that you have to work through. Who does wear tcheles? So Rav Shachter wears tcheles, obviously. Rav Belsky wears tcheles. You know, in America, he's not a tzioni. There was a Rav Kalman Epstein in Shara Torah, Rav Shiva Shara Torah. He tucks his tzitzis in because he's a Litvak. He used to be Hasidic, I think, to wear your tzitzis out. Litvaks always tuck their tzitzis in. So his shirt came untucked and his talmidim saw tcheles. He said, "What's that?" And he quickly tucked it back in. Okay. So, why do I tell that story? Not to embarrass Rav Kalman Epstein and say that he's not so yeshivish, to say that I get the impression that a lot more people wear than will let on. That's just the impression I get. Also, whenever something is going to change, whenever something new is going to be introduced, it's going to take time. Things don't just change overnight. Like I mentioned to you earlier in the summer, and I was only half kidding. I was more serious than not, that even if you're not wearing tcheles, your children will wear tcheles. Meaning, unless it's disproven or something, like there's enough people are going to learn the sugya. Here's what bothers me. I have no problem with someone who learns the sugya and says, you know what, I think when it says Ola Achas Hashem Shana, that there really has to be a comet-like appearance of Tcheles, you know, of Chilazon. I think the Gemara is literal, and that's why this can't be right. Or someone says, you know, I learned the sugya, and this is, this taina is the taina that bothers me, and here's why I don't like the answers. I don't think the malacha of dash can be violated with so few drops, and I think you could violate dash with just one chilazon. You know, whatever the taina wants to be, you know, like for Vichil Per to not wear tcheles because he learned the sugya as well, and he has these tainas, these detailed tainas about dash and sod and whatever. So that's fine. But a lot of times, even with Rabbanim, even amongst Rabbanim, even amongst Chashva Rabbanim, you'll ask them, you know, why aren't you wearing tcheles? I don't know, because my Rebbe didn't. You know, your Rebbe didn't have it. You know, like, what is that? It doesn't, it bothers me a lot that when you're dealing with the mitzvah d'oraisa, why not learn the sugya? Meaning, why not, like, just investigate? So that bothers me a great deal. And I don't know, the question is, which of the Rezina Rebbe's books do you not hold of? So the second book, no one holds of. He was wrong. Cuttlefish was, I mean, except the Rezina Chassid. So he was wrong about the cuttlefish. But the first book, that it's kedai to at least research, that it's kedai to look into it, I don't understand why people... So, or, you know, if you want to say that you go with the Midrashim that Rav Asher Weiss says, you know, there are Midrashim that say that we're not going to have it till Asad Lavo or, you know, something like that. And this is not Ein Lumeidim Medivra Agada because this is a Mitzius, it's not. And therefore, you could learn that from Medrash. So he says, so we can, we're not going to have it. And Rav Asher's entire truth, if you read it carefully, even not so carefully, is that he's starting with the premise that it's not we shouldn't look for something to actually be tcheles. Meaning, there's a difference between when you look at the Gemaras and you have the Murex and you want to see does it match, doesn't match, versus looking at the Gemaras and you know and saying unless it's perfect, you know, it's worthless. Rav Asher goes with the unless it's perfect, it's worthless. Why should I be nichnas into a pirtz of dechuka? You know, why should I? Should we start coming up with terutzim for every Gemara? Just go with the Pasha reading. Doma ledag means it's a fish, and every 70 years means every 70 years. And there's, you know, just one after the other. Why do you have to have terutzim? But sometimes the terutzim are better than the kashas. Sometimes kashas are better than the terutzim, but some of these terutzim, I think, are much better than the kashas, particularly the 70-year one. Meaning, the kasha that doesn't come up every 70 years, do you really think Mirux came up every... I don't know. To take that Gemara literally is, I think, less Pasha Pshar in the Gemara. And to take it figuratively. But, okay, some people want to take it literally. So again, that
most people do not do it. Most people.
What was it, the reason?
What?
What did you say? Chaim Kanievsky or Willie? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. That's exactly what bothers me. When the response is, "Well, my Rebbe didn't do it. This one didn't do it." Like, you know, did you learn the sugya? Did you not learn the sugya? You know, okay. If Rav Chaim Kanievsky said, if you're convinced that the Murex is tchelos, you have a chiv to wear it. If you're not convinced because you think it has to come up once every 70 years, then don't wear it. But if you're convinced that it is tchelos, if you think it's tchelos, then you have to wear it. We have a video of Rav Chaim saying that. So that's pretty good proof that he said that. So again, but at least learn the sugya. What bothers me is that people don't bother to learn the sugya. People don't bother to learn anything about it because they'd rather say it's much easier to cop out and say, you know, well, if it was real, then why didn't Rav Eliashiv wear it? Who knows? Maybe Rav Eliashiv thought, Rav Shechter said, I'll tell you why Rav Eliashiv didn't tell people to wear it. I don't know if this is true, but this is what Rav Shechter's feeling was, that Rav Eliashiv is looking at horrible poverty in the Haredi community in Israel because no one works. So he's dealing with horrible poverty there where people don't have 2 cents to put together to be able to put food on the table. And he's going to go, he's going to go and say that you should wear tcheles. And tomorrow, well, not tomorrow, but when Rav Yashiv was alive, if he would say to wear tcheles, the next day there would be 300,000, there would be an order of 300,000 new pairs of tcheles. And you know what that's going to do to the price? It's going to go through the roof, and they're not going to be able to fill the orders in time, and people are going to spend their food money on tcheles, and it's going to be pikuach nefesh. That's what Rav Shechter thought why he didn't wear it. I don't know. Maybe it is why he didn't wear it. Maybe it's not. But it's irrelevant if that's the reason or not the reason.
What about Rav Shechter
Weiss's like all time suffik daraisa? Rav Shechter Weiss, I thought his suffik daraisa l'chumrat was in the direction of wearing it, meaning. The taina that Rav Shechter had, that they say b'shem Reb Chaim, Savik d'Oraisa l'chumra is only if when you then are machmir, you'll be yotzei the safek, right? You're not going to be b'safek anymore. That's what they say b'shem Reb Chaim. Like, for example, if I'm not sure if I took lulav today, and it's still sukkis, so be machmir, take lulav again, Savik d'Oraisa l'chumra, now you know you took lulav. But if even after being machmir, you're still not going to be sure, Reb Chaim said, then we don't apply Savik d'Oraisa l'chumra. So Rav Asher argued it. Rav Shechter argued it, and he says it's against the Ran. Rav Shlomo Miller had a very interesting response to that, a very, very brilliant response to that. But Rav Asher didn't think that was a tain at all. He said, first of all, the Rav Chaim is a great chiddush. Who says? Who says Savik d'Oraisa l'chumra is only when you... He says, misvara, it doesn't work. Plus, he says, we have rayas and rishonim not that way also. The Gemara talks about tkiya shofar, that if you only know how to blow one of them, tarat, tashat, or tashrat, you can only do, you can't make the other sounds. So Savik d'Oraisa l'chumra, even though you're not sure if you're doing the right sounds, do it because Savik d'Oraisa l'chumra. Yeah, but you did it. You still don't know if you got the mitzvah. But still, the Gemara says to do it. So it's hard to take every chiddush Reb Chaim said the halacha. You know, it's a very difficult thing to try to do that.
Yeah, you said that they used that specific snail for other stuff in the times of the Gemara. You said it was mentioned in other contexts.
Yeah, royalty would wear it. Yeah, it was for royal garments. It was very expensive. And that was a dvar chashivus for royalty. So that's what the Gemara says, that's what they taina, that even once indigo was imported to Israel, and they realized, you know, the royalty still wore the murex because they thought it was more authentic. Like, they felt that it was a more authentic type of thing. There is more, you know, there are more details that you can get involved in, but we'll stop there.